Howdy.
Howdy.
And a quick note of gratitude to Luke, who is our lead singer and rhythm guitarist, who is going to be getting married next week. Congratulations. All right, I'm looking forward. That better be some delicious cake, okay? I'm just saying. All right. But I wanted to talk with you all today a bit about our Isaiah passage. 20 years ago, there was an Ukrainian election for president. And there were two people that were main candidates for this particular election. One of them was a candidate who wanted Ukraine to be more closely tied to Russia that they had originally been a part of. And the other one wanted to be more closely connected to the West, U.S. and NATO. The second candidate was named Viktor Yushchenko. And after a conflicted election and the Supreme Court getting involved and everything else, is that Yushchenko ended up winning that election. But at the same time, Yushchenko was also poisoned. It's debated whether or not the poison might have been put into his soup that he was eating one night for dinner. But what it was a dioxin. And if you don't know what a dioxin is, it's what is in the San Jacinto Bay. It's the reason why you cannot go fishing there, because a paper mill, its pulp that's been there for several decades, has deposited dioxins in there for a while, and it was only recently getting cleaned up when the EPA forced them to do so. So the dioxin was in his food and ended up becoming toxic into his body. But what especially made it obvious was not just his body trying to expel it in whichever way it could, we will leave that unspoken, but also what was showing up on his face. His face developed lesions, giant crags, wrinkles, pockmarks all over. And what was happening was actually his body was trying its best to save his life. Because it turned out that the skin on his face was being transformed into a different kind of organ. His body, in trying to fight the dioxin poisoning, was actually turning the skin on his face into a second liver. It was actually trying to create another body part so that he could detoxify and his body could survive. And later, he was finally able to get into a hospital when they discovered what was happening, and they were able to save his life. But everything that was happening inside of him became clear and obvious on the outside. Now, the Russian fact finders claimed that the whole thing was fake news to blame Putin, and claiming it to be a cosmetics issue, despite the fact that international doctors and scientists confirmed it and studied it, because it was giving an easy answer to the Russian people so that they could ignore what was happening right in front of them. And that's where we want to look at the first of three lessons that I want to make sure that we have realized from our lesson for today. The first of these lessons is that what happens on the inside will reveal itself on the outside. What happens on the inside reveals itself on the outside. And I need to talk a little bit about King Uzziah. Now, in our Isaiah passage, it starts off by saying that King Uzziah had just died. Now, if you're reading this passage, you probably just kind of skimmed past that part. But it turns out that that's actually important for understanding what was happening. See, Uzziah's father, Amaziah, they didn't have fun names like Chuck or Ted back then. But instead, Amaziah, his father, he had been what was considered a good king. Exactly. But what you'll notice is that it would say, not like his father David. Even though Amaziah had been a king that typically did what God wanted, it makes a note that he was not like David. Why was that important? Because David didn't just do things that on the outside seemed like what God wanted. David cared on the inside what God wanted. He was a man after God's own heart. David would genuinely repent when someone showed him that he had done something wrong. David would genuinely go to God and ask what God wanted him to see and do. On the inside, David cared. But Amaziah didn't have the same heart. He was very prideful and went to Israel in the north, and he was from Judah and was trying to say, hey, let's make treaties with each other. And the king of Israel said, you're kind of small. I don't really need you. And they went to battle with each other. And because of Amaziah's pride, he got captured. And Jerusalem was ransacked by Israel. And to the point where Amaziah became so unpopular that assassins chased him to Lachish. And he had to spend years in exile before he was finally murdered. And while he was in exile, his 16-year-old son Uzziah, also named Azariah, became king. They had to be king together for it to be legal. But Uzziah, Azariah, becomes king, and he ends up being like his father. But it's important to remember that, like his father, he also wasn't like David. You see, that's the thing about this, is there's another note that comes up when looking at the kings, is that it says that they did not take down the high places. Now, you're going to hear this a lot, okay? And I want to make sure you understand what this is about. You see, even though Uzziah, he had all these great building projects and did all this farming and everything, and he had a huge military, it makes a note that he did not take down the high places, because all of these little altars existed all throughout the land. You may be wondering, why was it such a big deal to not have other little places to worship God all throughout the land? Why was that such a big deal? Why did you have to go to Jerusalem? Well, the reason is because in Jerusalem was where the priests who had studied and knew how to proclaim God's presence, who knew what God wanted, that's where they were at. In all these other locations, the priests didn't actually know what God was expecting. They came up with all sorts of ideas, and they might have all sorts of other practices. In these other places, they might not be sacrificing the animals that God wanted, or they might not even be sacrificing animals at all, sometimes even children. Or in these places throughout the land, is that they might sell their bodies in exchange for a worship service. Or there might be times where they're not even at an altar, but instead are worshiping in front of a tree. And to realize that all these things going on throughout the whole land, but why would the king not stop those things? Because each one of these little altars was usually supported by a wealthy or important person in the area. And they might actually be making money from it. So instead of offending the wealthy, influential people, the king might just leave it alone and let them do whatever they were going to do. But the problem for Uzziah is that he himself started acting the same way. And what we find out is that as much as he did so many things that would have been pleasing to God, then he comes to the temple and decides that he wants to make the sacrifice himself. So even though he was the government and that there were the religious priests that were supposed to take care of this and there was a separation between the two, he wanted to cross over and he wanted to do it himself. He felt that he was important enough that he could walk into the presence of God and make the sacrifice. So God gave him leprosy. Leprosy could mean any number of things, but this was the serious kind where you were no longer allowed to be in the presence of other people for the rest of his life. And see, that's the thing about this, is that that was the downfall of Uzziah. And so as Isaiah is talking that he has passed, he now has to deal with this question of Uzziah was not worthy to be in the presence of God. And now Isaiah has to see, how could he be worthy in the presence of God? So, in looking at this, understanding it, what we would then know is this question of humility. And trying to understand how it is that even though Uzziah had been disgraced and wasn't even able to be buried with the other kings, what was going to happen for Isaiah? Or even more than that, Judah as a whole. You see, Uzziah was larger than life, captured everybody's attention, but he was brought low. So now, asking the question, what about the people? But Isaiah also asking, what about himself? But Isaiah knew something. Isaiah knew who the true king was. The king ultimately was not Uzziah or his son Jotham or anybody else. The true king was God. And so knowing that is Isaiah does not fall into the same levels of pride and arrogance as Uzziah. He's humble, and he knows that he needs to be humble in being in the presence of God. And that's something to deal with, is that Isaiah began with repentance. Isaiah began in a place of repentance. See, instead of starting off with the idea of I am worthy with God, Isaiah did the opposite. See, Isaiah acknowledged his own unworthiness. So in acknowledging his unworthiness, he was able to then go to God. And what was God able to do? God was able to make him worthy. But how? What was needed? And that's important to realize, is that the purification that Isaiah has to go through, it wasn't easy. See, that's the thing about when we are purified. When God is working in our life, it is not easy. It's not supposed to be. But rather is to realize that oftentimes, it has to require pain. It has to require time. See, the thing is that purification, it's not easy. But even being painful, it may just take time to get there. But even more than looking at the repentance of Isaiah, is instead also asking, what about the people? What about the people themselves? Because here's the thing, is that Uzziah had been showing the people how to not follow God. A leader will show people by their character what they're meant to do. And Uzziah had shown them pride and arrogance. So now, what's going to happen to the people of Judah when Uzziah has passed away? And so I want to point out a second point. What is clearly and obviously established can still be denied when we want to. What is obvious can still be something that we deny just because we want to. See, the thing is that oftentimes we can ignore what's right in front of us. I have to tell you, confess something. Back when I was in California, I was a pastor there a few years, and I had been up in the balcony, and the organ there was up in the balcony as well. And it had all the pipes that were like around in a circle. And there were these two little kids that were there. And I saw one of them. I said, hey, you know, there's a goblin in the organ. Thank you. That's really the best response, is a little bit of laughter there. Oh, pastor's being silly. But I'm like, I'm in my 20s, and you know, when you're in your 20s, you know, you don't know what you're doing. But with it, though, is to realize that I wanted to convince them. So I kept saying, no, look closer. See, there's a goblin. I'm looking right at him. I can see the goblin. Oh, my goodness. I swear, I blame this on my dad. I swear, I must have gotten it from him, okay? But I'm pointing until one of the kids says, I think I see him. And then I realized at that moment what I had done. And I went to his mother immediately and confessed what I had done in the hopes that she would help her son to get back in touch with reality, which their pastor had just damaged for him. Because as much as I wish I could say I didn't know, there was a part of me that knew what I was doing. But I was able to convince him of something that should have been obvious, that it should have been obvious there's nothing in there. But I was so convincing that somehow he believed me. But the thing is that that's also what we sometimes do with our passage in Isaiah. See, there's a part of it that makes it sound as if God didn't want the people to confess, as if there were people that he wanted to stay stuck in their sins. It sounds almost as if that there were people that God wanted to never repent and never come to know. Now, we know that that's not true, because God's word repeatedly shows times that he has made salvation for everybody and that he keeps giving his word to everybody. And it says he wants all to come to know him. And yet there are still so many churches and teachers that will take this and keep saying, no, this is God predestining people for hell. That's what he wants. And after a while, we sometimes listen. But when we see the character of God, we realize that there's more to this than that. Because in reality, is that stubborn people sometimes just don't listen when there's an easy way to fix things. You see, that's the difficulty, is that if God were to allow it to be really easy and quick, just make it so that Judah will say they're sorry, change things up and everything, what are they going to do? They're going to go right back to it right away. It's like, oh, yeah, God, that was bad. Oops, sorry, my bad. And not actually realize how bad it really is. Sometimes God has to let us wallow in our stubbornness. Sometimes he has to let the consequences play out and just let us get stuck in it. Because the real consequences have to actually be revealed. Sometimes, as much as he loves us, he has to leave us in it and let us go through the consequences of what we've been pursuing. But Isaiah, he knew he still had to go and proclaim God's word. Could you imagine what that is? That Isaiah knows that the people are going to still be stubborn and are going to reject what he says. And he still has to go and tell them. See, that's the thing about this, is that we are oftentimes finding ourselves so hard-hearted, but so does the world. And yet, we're still meant to hear and proclaim God's word, even when we know it may fall on deaf ears. But here's the thing, and this is the third point I want you to catch, is that the process of recovery is long and hard, but it's necessary. See, Uzziah was blessed as a king. All these things are going on, but the blessing distracted from what was happening in his heart. The blessing doesn't always reveal that we're actually right with God. The blessing may be a distraction. And in reality, is that sometimes God wants us to go through the fire so we can actually come closer to him. Because as Isaiah had the coal placed to his lips, a coal, a hot stone, whatever it was, it burned. But that was what was needed, that he could be God's person. And that's the thing, is that the only way to deal with what was happening in Judah, the fact that they were worshiping in other ways, it wasn't just to make it easy and fall back into the same pattern of, oh, we're sorry, God, but let's do it again. But he had to let the poison damage the outside of their country and send them into exile. Yushchenko, it took many months, years, for him to recover. But it had to take the time to pull out the toxin. And the outside, it had to be damaged to help what was happening on the inside. And the truth be, is that even at the times whenever we wish that we could be blessed, we sometimes have to just deal with what's happening, because that's the only way that we can actually get better. We may not always want to deal with what's actually happening on the inside. We may want to reject what is obvious. We may want to be the Russian fact finder, just trying to find an easy answer. We may just want to protect ourselves from what we really need. See, the only true way to be restored, though, is for God to humble us and to let the pain do what he will. Because the children of God, they needed to be convicted. We need to be convicted. But it doesn't mean we always respond. But God continues to want to call us back to Himself. And that's the thing about this, is that even as the chemo may have to damage the body, it is ultimately the only way to kill the cancer inside. And God had to use a cross to kill His Son and His Son's body to save the souls of all mankind. And the thing is that God may be doing something in your life that you wish He'd stop. But maybe it's needed so that we would come back to trusting in Him and to be willing to listen. Because repenting starts with us, even when it hurts. So I don't know what God may be doing in your life. And I don't know how hard it may be. And I may not know how long it's going to take, or even if you're still going downward before it's going to turn around. But I do know that God's grace is still there speaking. And I do know that He wants us to willingly trust Him and let Him break our hearts the same way He did for David, the same way He did for Isaiah, so that we too can follow Him in spirit as well as in truth. So may God use everything, even and especially the painful parts, to bring us into His presence, that He can cleanse us, even as He has called us to be His children, out of love and out of grace. May God be merciful, now and always. Amen.